Hello and welcome to The Daddy Logs, an original collection of monologues, sometimes exciting, joyous, playful, often moving, written by some new and established writers and performed by some of the very best indie voice actors in the audio drama medium. I'm David Beck, producer, director of many wireless theatre productions, which you can check out on the burgeoning wireless feed, www.wirelesstheatre.co.uk. Thank you so much to all the brilliant writing talent who entered this latest wireless new writing competition. We do love to celebrate and nurture new writers. And congrats to our finalists, Brian Hipkin, Paul Spencer, Steve Palace, Richard Hearn, Phil Taylor, Lydia Parker and Perdita Lawton. We very much enjoyed your works and hope you continue to submit to future wireless competitions. Now, without further ado, on to our winners' showcase. Winners' names to be revealed one by one. Okay, so here we go. The first moving, gentle piece is by John Barron and one of his first ever writing submissions and performed beautifully, sensitively by the amazingly talented Caleb Obadiah. Caleb is, at time of recording, starring on Broadway in King Lear. He starred in many of Wireless's award-winning productions this year, including Geezer Bird and I Need a Miracle, and as an array of amazing characters. And this is a masterclass in sincerity and bringing gentle emotion to the performance of a superbly written piece. Here is Sorry by John Barron.
Hi, it's me. Hello, it's me. Well, you don't know who I am yet, do you? I'm Daddy. Dad? Pa? I don't really know. I guess it's up to you, isn't it? Until you can figure it out for yourself. Come on, there we go. So yeah, let's say hello to Mum. Hey Mum, Mama, Mummy. Well, she's sleeping right now. She's been working really hard to get you here. Really hard. Yeah, really hard. 36 hours of a roller coaster of excitement and fear and pain and joy and, in the end, if I'm honest, just plain relief. Did you know that according to scientists, the human body during pregnancy is under almost as much calorific strain as an ultra runner? Did you know that? Did you know that? You know, those lunatics who think that 26 miles just isn't quite long enough. Well, you probably don't know. You're only 1, 2, 3 hours old. Got a lot to learn. Burping, for instance. But anyway, yeah, your mum, she's... Well, it's been an effort. And no offence, she's found it a bit tedious. Apart from the last 36 hours, which have been... Well, they've been terrifying. Mm-hmm. And painful. And tiring. And if she's anything like my mum, she'll be reminding you of that for the rest of your life. Yes, she will. Especially if she wants you to help download an app. But right now she's sleeping. My friends who have kids tell me that this is the last time either of us will do much of that for a few months. Or years. Depending. So I say, let her. Which means, I'm afraid, it's just me. Mm-hmm. It's just me for the moment. Yes, it is. Just me. And I just wanted to tell you. I just wanted to say Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you got me as a dad. I guess I really thought I'd have it all worked out before I had kids of my own, but... well, here we are. Not a rock star. Not a champion of business. Not even a champion of my own hot desk. Just pulling in enough to pay the bills and get a delivery once a month. And it's not because I rejected a high-paying career for something meaningful. I'd love to sell my soul for a massive paycheck. Oh yes, I would. Problem is, no one is buying. So yeah. Your old man hasn't even cobbled enough together to get a place with stairs. But I suppose that means you won't be falling down then. Isn't that right? Silver linings. Silver linings. I wish I could say I'm a doer, not a thinker, but really, I'm neither. Yeah? What am I? Go and ask me, what am I? I'm an exister. Mm-hmm. I've done quite well at it so far. I mean, I'm still here. But that's it. So, like I said, I'm sorry. I never got why some people name their kids after themselves. You know, like so-and-so Junior. Shows a distinct lack of imagination for one thing. But more importantly, why would you want someone the same as you? I really don't want a rerun of... well, this. That's my biggest wish, okay? That's what I'd like from you. Don't. Take after me. Although your mum says you look like me, which is a little bit insulting to me, to be honest. No offence. I mean, I'm really glad you're here. Yes, I am. Took us ages to have you. I even made a meal of that. And yes, it was my fault, not your mum's. See? Can't get anything right. So yeah, sorry, but I can promise you this one thing, you will be loved, you will be loved, yes you will, yes, yes my boy, I mean it's not much but it's what I know I can give you. I know you've pissed me off. Annoy me. Sorry. And maybe... maybe one day you'll say you hate me. Or you'll forget my birthday. Or one of the other 100 ways that I hurt my dad. But that's no more than I deserve. That's fine. But if you hurt your mum, I'll have words. Anyway, you're tired now. At least I think you are. I think that's what that face means. I'm going to put you down now. And I'm going to take a seat. I'll be right here. See? Yeah. I'll always be right here. Like I said, that's what I'm good at. Existing. Finally, somewhere it can be useful. My boy. I'm with that. Yours. Amazing. Good night. Shh, shh, shh. Good night, son.
I think you'll agree that you don't have to have experience of being a dad to be moved by that. Wonderful writing to kick us off. Thanks, John Barron and Caleb Obadiah. Our second piece stars an indie audio drama stalwart, Curran Cromfley, in a thought-provoking piece by Jeff Tulling. Jeff, actually, is a double winner, as his piece, You Are My Sunshine, was in the first of our monologue shows of 2024, The Mummy Logs, released earlier this year and available on all podcatchers and on our website. Jeff's piece, Generations, was written based on his reactions to stumbling across the actual photograph mentioned in the passage, which was taken about 28 years ago. Jeff is a child of the 60s, born into a family that, in his words, was the epitome of northeastern working class. The speaker is nostalgic for those times and missing the elder family members. Enjoy.
Generations by Jeff Tulling. Performed by Curran Cromfley. You're 2 years old. Thankfully, not the terrible twos that so many well-intentioned parents were keen to warn us about, but the easy, happy-going little toddler that is the envy of the daycare centre. Today, we have you dressed in clothing reminiscent of the 1930s. An earthen-hued tweed waistcoat with pocket handkerchief, matching flat cap and good solid boots. You really do look the part. Even if you do keep taking the hat off to stare inside. We've driven these 100 miles to meet your great-grandfather. 90 years old. He lives in the cottage he's occupied his entire adult life. This is a mining village. The pits themselves long closed, which remains almost frozen in time. Here, the decrepit Miners' Welfare Club. There, the last remaining schoolhouse. Park. The allotments where he used to keep his pigeons. He's too frail to do that anymore. Too frail. But as I carry you into the cottage, we can see the aged photographs and dark wood trophies from triumphs gone by. My father is already here, sitting opposite, close to the open fire, in one of the matching high back chairs. He lacks the crocheted blanket that great-grandad keeps over his lap. But as we look back and forth between them, it's the same face, give or take 30 years. Great-grandad spent his entire life on the coalface. Your grandad began there too, but the 80s hit the town hard, and he found himself jobless with a family to feed. He retrained as an electrician, and filled the rest of his working years in a tool factory that was happy to mop up the cheap local workforce. I put you down on a carpet, where you immediately removed the cap. And there is much nodding and interest. Great-grandad is introduced, but you are wary of the unfamiliar face and surroundings. It's all slightly awkward. Can he talk? Yes. Does he go to school yet? In a way. And so on. Everyone agrees that you have your mother's features. I rather think that's for the best. But time will tell.
Let's do a picture.
Okay. It's time for a photograph. And this is the point of the journey. None of us know it yet, but this is the last time we see great-grandad. And grandad too won't be with us for many more years. But that's less immediate. So, we group ourselves together. 4 generations assembled for one brief moment. Great-grandad holds you. The cap is placed back on your head. And one single photo is taken.
Ready?
Ready!
Ready!
Ready, ready as I'll ever be.
Smile, lads.
There should have been more. The miner. The electrician. The software consultant. And you.
Smile!
Jeez!
I wonder what you will become. Perhaps in your turn, a father too. Tag. You're it.
What a wonderful piece. Beautifully performed by Curran. You can find him on numerous audio dramas, including Re-Dracula, The Magnus Archives, and more. Of course, we know not everyone is connected well to their families, and things are not always easy. And this next piece explores elements of just that in a troubled father-son relationship. Dust by Shari Gledhill is performed by the silken-voiced Andrew Jack. Andrew is a New Zealand-based voice actor, and if you want to cast him and his smooth, velvety voice, do check the show notes for contact details.
Dust by Shari Glidhill. Performed by Andrew Jack. Well, here we are. Our final moments together. I don't know what to say, really. It's hard for us. It's hard for us men, isn't it? To share our feelings, unburden ourselves. It's not what we do. You taught me that. You taught me well. Too well. Never show weakness. Never show emotion. Keep everything bottled up inside. Be a man. Be a man? What does that even mean? In 2024, God knows. I mean, for you, it meant bullying and teasing anyone who wasn't like you, including me, especially me. I've still got the scars to prove it, inside and out. Yeah, see, for you, being a man meant going to the football every week, getting off your face in the pub, having a bit of a scuffle on the way home, and then giving Mum a telling off when the Sunday roast was burnt, falling asleep on the sofa, stinking and snoring. I'll never forget that day when I finally told you I wanted to study art at college. It took me ages to build up the courage to tell you. How I came alive when I was drawing and painting, being creative, and then the look of disdain on your face. It's not a real fucking subject. Get a proper fucking job. And you know what? So I went and got a proper fucking job. And I've regretted it every day since. Every day. I just wish I'd had the courage to stand up to you, you know? To do what I wanted to do. To say what I really wanted to say. I guess this is my chance now. When you can't answer back. I was always so desperate for your approval, Dad. Dad. I tried to be like you. To act like you. Tough guy. No wonder Cheryl didn't hang about. No wonder Bobby doesn't want to stay around at... Doesn't want to stay around at all. You see, that's what I can't forgive you for. My relationship with my son, or lack of, he doesn't want anything to do with me these days. He looks at me like I'm an old relic, out of touch, so sad. I gave him tough love, just like you showed me. But he was so much stronger than me. He fought back and went his own way. God, I envy him. You know what? It's probably good that you've left the stage now. This isn't your world anymore. Things have changed. Men can be whatever they want, do whatever they want. They don't have to fit into some small-minded, old-fashioned idea of masculinity. Not anymore. Not anymore. They can show love and weakness and accept it in others. Well, goodbye then, Dad. I lived in your shadow for so many years, but now... Now you're gone. Yeah. And tomorrow, you'll be nothing but dust. There's an art class in the village that I think I'll join. I mean, God, I might not be any good, but at least I'll have a go. The past is gone. Gone, gone, gone. Yeah. But I can now at least try to create a new future for myself, for me, and I will try to become a proper father to my son, for us. And this time, I'll listen to him, like you never did. Ever.
Thanks to Shari for that honest piece. She has also shared her favourite quote with us to do with parenting. Any fool can have a child. That doesn't make you a father. It's the courage to raise a child that makes you a father. That was said by Barack Obama, no less. Shari lives in Scarborough, North Yorkshire, and has been writing plays for over 25 years. She co-directs a local drama group, Banana Drama, a group committed to producing high-quality original pieces of theatre, and was the first ever recipient of the Russell Whiteley Award for New Writing. You can find more of her plays published on Lazy Bee Scripts and Stage Scripts Limited. So if you are in the Scarborough area, go support Shari and Banana Drama's works and let her know how much you enjoyed her wireless daddy log, Dust. Okay, time for a slight change of mood with a dad gently putting his baby to sleep. This one is by Tom McGrath, who has spent most of the last 17 years acting, directing and writing for various theatre companies, occasionally to a positive response. When not working on a specific project, he will perform at home for his wife, his daughter, or himself in ascending order of enthusiasm. In December 2021, just before Christmas, his life changed forever when he welcomed his favourite person, Aurora, into the world, his inspiration for this piece. Never quite finding the time to write as much as he'd like, he couldn't resist this chance to put fingers to keys and capture a moment amidst the ever-changing ride of parenthood. So, here is Night by Tom McGrath. Performed delicately and so beautifully by an amazing actor who, when not directing theatre in Vienna, can be found on The Amelia Project, a wonderful podcast from Improbable Fictions. Here is Alan Bergen in Night by Tom McGrath.
I can't tell what the time is, but it's late. Frankly, I cannot be arsed. I look next to me at your mother, the woman who drained her body to grow yours. I spend a couple of moments contemplating the mental gymnastics required to convince her that she should get up. It certainly isn't her turn. My diplomatic mission is over before it's begun. I get up. I'm coming. I really cannot be arsed. But on the short walk to your bedroom, I give myself a pep talk. You're a metropolitan 21st century man.
I'm not.
Bandit Healer is your parenting hero.
He is.
Dada. No, you're standing up in your cot, eyes glued at the door.
Oh, hey.
Oh, they light up as soon as you see me. It is not immediately clear why you are awake. You don't even seem sure yourself. But the fact is you are. And so we begin the routine.
Dada loves you.
I change your nappy and then we share our first proper cuddle of this episode. You are so warm. I wonder if you're still so full of hope and purity and happiness that the warmth of your soul is literally bursting out of you. I reflect that I am often cold.
There we go. Almost there. Almost done. Put this one over here. And this one over here.
I go to the window and pull the blinds enough to look at the sky.
Look,
Dada. Look.
Wow. You point out the stars and tell them how pretty they are. The moon also gets considerable mention.
Hello, stars.
Check it out.
Your voice is my favorite sound.
Pretty stars.
Look how many there are.
You start to look sleepy again.
Look.
Dada, sing the rainbow song.
I happily oblige. You turn your head to the side and place it on my chest. The right thumb is in your mouth, and your left hand is playing with your hair, which tickles my face as you twirl it. As we progress through the song, you move from singing along to gently murmuring to silence. I look in the mirror, and I can see that you are gone. In truth, I didn't need the reflection. I could already tell. You are heavier. I don't immediately return you to your bed. This is not because I think you are not fully asleep. But when I lift your arm, it drops like a stone. I don't put you back down because I don't want to. You are my best friend. My beautiful girl. This whole experience has taken probably 15 minutes. At least a third of that was the final, not technically required, cuddle. I hope next time I remember that it doesn't take long, and that it is really just another precious moment shared with you. I won't remember that next time, but I hope I do eventually remember it before it stops happening altogether. You are already a big girl. You are two. Two. It's all going so quickly. Too quickly, really. Finally, I put you down. My arms have given up before my heart. I tuck you in and go to close the blinds.
Yeah.
You're right. The stars are pretty.
Night, night, darling.
As I leave, my eyes are not glued to the door as yours were. I am looking at you. This is our life now. You constantly looking ahead. At the next entrance, the next adventure. Me constantly looking back, savoring every second and detail of your growing life. Back in bed, I give your mum a quick cuddle. She's done a great job. Such a great job. Of everything. For everyone. I know I am lucky to feel love so deeply. So, oh, I look at my phone. It's 4 a.m. If I fall asleep this second, I will get 2.5 hours before I have to ignore my first alarm for work. Oh, work, 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 work. I suddenly remember how it truly feels to really not be arsed.
Sweet dreams.
Tom Hanks allegedly said on Being a Dad, "I will do anything I can possibly do in order to keep you safe." That's it. Offer that up and then just love them. And Steve Carell is quoted as saying, "The most challenging part of being a dad is not succumbing to your kid's cuteness all the time. That can set a dangerous precedent." These are but two of Tom McGrath's favourite quotes from Focus on Fatherhood. And to be honest, there's some good advice in there. And I have to agree with the last sentiment. I'm blessed with two wonderful boys. And for me, if I was going to be writing a piece about fatherhood, parenthood, I think mine would be about the challenges of balancing your work life and social life with your role as being a parent in the modern world, and how the two can sort of bleed into each other, and how that sort of leads to parent guilt, which I think is one of the biggest challenges that I certainly face. How your stresses of your work life bleed into the way you parent, and then you feel guilty about it, and then you overcompensate, and how that sort of rumbles down the road. That would be what I'd write about. Which leads us to our final piece on fatherhood, penned by Brendan Connolly, who is a full-time script writer and created the audio drama Circles, which was selected for the British Library's collection of notable artistic responses to the pandemic. He has two original audio drama series coming soon, so do follow him on the socials to find out what he is doing next. This final piece is performed by the wonderful Daniel Ryan, who brings a true warmth to this kind and thoughtful dad. We are very lucky to have him involved with this deftly written, gently revealing monologue, and hope you'll agree his performance is moving and resonant and not to be missed. Enjoy Clark by Brendan Connolly.
I was 50 years old before I knew I had a son. Exactly 50, as it happens. And almost 20 of those years, I was a dad, but a dad of daughters. Being a dad of daughters, it's different somehow. I'm still trying to work out all the differences, really. But I know they're there. And my boy, Clark, he's pretty clear about that too. Em and the kids wanted to put on a do for my 50th. A big party at the gasworks, you know, the sort of thing. A buffet and a few quid behind the bar. The sort of do where you see aunties and uncles who otherwise only come out for weddings and funerals. It's flattering, really. Getting a big hurrah for just making it to 50. And I knew I'd have to work the room. You have to keep going when you're throwing a party like this. Can't ignore anybody. And so I was too busy being a social butterfly that I didn't see him at first. I was distracted going from cousin to cousin. The mood did change, though, when he first walked in. I don't think I'm making that up. But when I did see him, I knew who I was looking at right away. He didn't take any explanation. I know my kids. I'm telling you, it all just made sense. So there he was. "Hello, Dad," he said. And I said, "Hello."
"Hello."
There I was too. I just said, "Hello." But I wish I'd said "son" as well. That would have been perfect. But I did my best. I took him in my arms and held on to him. And he explained he didn't have to. But he did. He wanted to, and I wasn't going to stop him. "My name is Clark," he said. "Is that okay?" "Of course it is, Clark. Class name, that. I partly chose it because it's quite like Claire," he said. Claire was the name I'd chosen for him when he was born. His mum had preferred Crystal. I'll never know why. And I don't know why I chose Claire either. Not really. But I knew it was perfect. Well, I thought I knew it was perfect. And I suppose I didn't do too badly, did I? I was only a couple of little letters out.
A superb piece there from Brendan. We hope you have great success with future writing, Brendan. And of course, same wishes to all of our brilliant writers today. All that remains to say is huge and hearty thank yous to all folks who submitted scripts. And special thanks to our performers, Caleb Obadiah, Andrew Jack, Karim Cromfley, Alan Bergen, Daniel Ryan, and of course, our winners. John Barron for Sorry, Jeff Tullin for Generations with Karim Cromfley, Shari Gledhill for Dust, Tom McGrath for Night, Brendan Collerly for Clark. Being a dad's always hard, isn't it? Every day is always fraught with a barrage of multiple decision-making moments, and we don't always get it right, do we? But to be there when you can, present, listening, encouraging, a word here, a look there, a brazen attempt to discipline or show pride, the pride only a father can, that is all we can do. The role of dad has and will always be truly vital in any family unit. And through our own experience, there may often be a need to correct any mistakes of our forefathers or to blatantly carve our own paths. And yet, making things up as we go along is sometimes the only way to go. There's no manual, none that I've read anyway. No one fits an all-inclusive guide, but to connect, nurture, to cajole and just play. Show children a safe and joyous place in a family home and watch as the tiny soul develops through the ages. It's a privilege, isn't it, to watch them grow and accompany them on their own journeys. So huge thanks to all the brilliant dads out there listening. We honestly hope this inspires you to write and submit to any future new writing opportunities with Wireless. We will potentially be running the Gran and Grandpa-a-logs in the new year and so much more. So please do keep an eye on all the Wireless socials. We're on Facebook, Blue Sky, Tumblr, Insta and X. And our next show to be released is a horror, Renfield, by the inimitable Marty Ross. And in the new year, our collaboration with JK Music sees the release of a new original super fun musical with a cracking cast and score, Normanity, directed by me and with MD Patrick Stockbridge. You cannot miss it. It's a hoot. This production of Daddy Logs was directed, edited and produced by Sarah Golding. Music is by Incompetech. I'm David Beck. Do check out show notes on wirelesstheatre.co.uk for links to all of the insanely talented people involved in bringing you this eclectic mix of new writing today. Please do share, rate, and review this episode. And on behalf of Team Wireless, thank you for listening.